Good morning, church. It's good to be with you this morning. I can't say I've had the best of weeks, but I'm okay. We're in Daniel chapter 6 this morning. A very familiar story, maybe one of the most familiar in all the scripture, Daniel and the lion's den. Maybe if you don't know anything else about scripture, you probably know a little bit about the story of Daniel and the lion's den. And so we're just going to read that this morning, beginning in Daniel chapter 6. And the title of the message today is Obeying a Higher Law. Obeying a Higher Law. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give an account, so the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint for any fault because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom and the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He sat down on his knees. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast, for according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, and that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at the break of day, the king arose and went into haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in the tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius went to all the people, wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in my royal administration, in my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be no to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. It was in 1963, a coordinated nonviolent series of marches and sit-ins was conducted in Birmingham, Alabama, against racial segregation and the racist practices of the city of Birmingham. Birmingham was one of the most racially oppressive cities in the United States at the time. Dr. Martin Luther King was asked to participate in those protests, and many other leaders of the civil rights movement did along with him. What happened, the Wikipedia reports. On April 10th, Circuit Judge W.A. Jenkins issued a blanket injunction against parading, demonstrating, boycotting, trespassing, and picketing. Leaders of the campaign announced that they would disobey the ruling. On April 12th, Dr. King was roughly arrested with Ralph Abernathy and other marchers, while thousands of African Americans dressed for Good Friday looked on. Dr. King was met with unusually harsh conditions in the Birmingham jail. An ally smuggled in a newspaper from April 12th, which contained a call for unity, a statement by eight white Alabama clergymen against Dr. King and his methods. That letter provoked Dr. King, and he began to write a response. Dr. King's response is a classic, and it's known today as a letter from a Birmingham jail. Now, if you've never read that letter, you ought to look it up and read it sometime. In it, he wrote about the difference between whether law is just or unjust. And this is what he said. This is what he wrote. Now, what is the difference between the two? How does one determine whether a law is just or unjust? A just law is a man-made code that squares with the moral law or the law of God. An unjust law is a code that is out of harmony with the moral law. To put it in the terms of St. Augustine, of St. Thomas Aquinas, an unjust law is a human law that is not rooted in eternal law and natural law. Now, believers should be people who obey the laws, of course. You might not personally like some of the laws, but you should obey them. And you don't get to decide whether you want to obey or disobey a law just because of personal preference. However, there are times when believers must obey the higher laws of God and resist the unjust laws of man. In Daniel 6, Daniel faced such a time. An unjust law had been adopted, and Daniel faced the choice of submitting to this injustice and breaking the command to worship the Lord God only, or of worshiping and praying to the Lord God only and breaking the unjust law of men. Whenever that's the choice, we say with the apostles today, we must obey God rather than men. You see, we are put on the earth to live for the glory of God. And when we obey God rather than men, we bring much glory to his name. In this familiar passage from Daniel 6, we see the timeless truth, and that is this, that God's people reveal his power and glory when we supremely love and worship God alone. God's people reveal his power and glory when we supremely love and worship God alone. Now, I want us to look in Daniel 6 and see some reasons that unjust laws are enacted and how to oppose them and what happens when God's people choose obedience to God over giving in to injustice. First of all, there's a reason sometimes unjust laws are passed. Jealousy and personal advancement move some to seek unjust laws. Now, the Babylonian Empire had come to a close, and there was a new empire beginning the Medo-Persian Empire, which had conquered the Babylonians. Darius was the leader, and we read in Daniel 6, he organizes his government. He placed 120 satraps, regional leaders, over certain areas, and over these 120 regional leaders, he placed three administrators, and Daniel was one of the administrators. Daniel began easily to distinguish himself by his excellent work above the other two administrators. So the king decided he was going to place Daniel over those two administrators and over all the regional advisors. Now, because the other administrators heard about this, and if this happened, they were going to lose influence, they were going to lose power, and probably they were going to lose wealth because they were probably making money through bribes and the systems that were set up. And so when they learned this, they said, we got to stop this Daniel from being promoted. They were jealous and afraid of losing power. Now look, they investigated Daniel, the Bible speaks today, says in Daniel 6 at the very beginning of the chapter, we find the first miracle, a squeaky clean politician. They couldn't find anything to accuse Daniel of, nothing to accuse Daniel of. They found him hardworking, totally honest public servant. They could find no basis for any accusation of wrongdoing. And so they determined that the only way they could find a ground of complaint against Daniel was if they found it in his relationship to his God and how he worshiped God. Now notice the contrast here. There no corruption, you couldn't find any corruption in Daniel, while these men, because of jealousy and power and greed, desire for personal advancement, they wanted to stop his promotion. So they figured out a scheme that would cause Daniel to have to disobey man's laws because he would be obeying God's laws. Now we know simply that there are a lot of laws passed in state legislatures and the U.S. Congress simply to protect certain groups or interests or keep competing groups in their place. That happens all the time. They're slipped into major bills. You always read about these things if you ever studied the government at all. They're slipped in, some major government spending in a certain area, to help just a certain group or a certain small region. Maybe you remember a certain pork project a few years ago called the Bridge to Nowhere. It actually was a bridge. It didn't go anywhere, and somebody was getting paid to do it out of the U.S. government. Many laws have been adopted to keep people, to help people make money. And many laws sometimes are adopted to keep people from advancing. You know, we know about the Jim Crow laws that were a part of the United States during the 20th century. They were adopted basically to enforce racial segregation and to keep black Americans from their rightful place and exercising their rights as citizens. And they were all over the South. And not only the South, they were also in other places. You see, jealousy, personal advancement, greed, when you want to keep people down, when you're only concerned about yourself and your position and what's in it for you, unjust laws come about. Jealousy and personal advancement move some to seek unjust laws. But then secondly, faithfulness enables us to challenge. No way, move too fast. Well, I left one out, so flattery, this is not on your PowerPoint, flattery moves others to unknowingly agree with unjust laws. Flattery moves others to unknowingly agree with unjust laws. Now the men came to King Darius, and he wanted to get him to buy into their scheme to derail Daniel's nomination. And so they said, King, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects, the counselors, agreed that you should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that anybody who makes any kind of petition to any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now notice a few things about what they said. They said all the high officials. Was it all? Well, at least one of them was left out. Daniel wasn't asked about this. And probably many others were not in agreement with something like this. But oftentimes when people say things like everyone sees it this way or everyone agrees, it's probably just simply the people they hang around with and see life exactly as they do. They're overstating their case. And then they flattered the king. They flattered the king. You're a great guy, king. King Darius, live forever. You know, make him pray only to you and seek all the petitions through you. You know, Darius was supposed to be kind of a God representative on the earth. That's part of what they believed about the ruler. And they said, just let him through for 30 days, you know, go simply through you, pray only through you. It's not an unreasonable request. They won't have to forfeit their religions forever. It's only a month. And then most people don't take their religions that serious anyway. And if you do this, it'll assure loyalty to your kingdom, and it will show disloyalty of those who won't obey. And if they don't obey, they're going to be shown to be traitors, and you could throw them in the lion's den, and you're getting rid of a problem in advance. And so they set the perfect trap for Daniel, who they knew was faithful to the true and living God. And they flattered Daniel. They flattered Darius. They flattered King Darius, and the king fell for their flattery. He did not think it through. You see, all of us need to be free with encouragement and praise and compliments. You know, I think we need to be free with that. I think we need to tell people when they help us and they encourage us and they do something good. And compliments, I think we ought to be free. But flattery is a different thing. Flattery is trying to build someone up falsely so you can get something out of them, basically. It's appealing to your vanity, my vanity, and our egos. And if we listen to this kind of flattery, we can do unwise and dangerous things. Now, I probably shouldn't tell this, but working with youth along these years, I used to... Every once in a while, you get a really guy who thought he was a great athlete. And so I like to play a little joke on this guy. I would say, I think you're strong, you're everything, you know. Can you do a sideways push-up? Can you do a sideways push-up? And I would say, I never heard of a sideways push-up. I said, well, you put your arm and your knee on the wall and an arm and a knee on the floor, and you push up and down against the wall. And so I would appeal to their ego, to their strength, and they'd want to prove how much a man they were. They'd get down in that position, one arm and one knee on the wall, and one arm and one knee on the leg. And when they got in that position, I would say, now bark like a dog. Think about it for a minute. Anyway, I appealed to their flattery. Appeal to their flattery. It was always kind of funny, but anyway. You know, when people appeal to our flattery, when they try to butter us up, we better be careful. We better be careful. You see, it's one thing to encourage and praise. It's another thing to flatter. To just tell somebody something that they might want to hear so you can get something out of them. And we're all prone to listen to that kind of thing. And we're all sometimes prone to give it. We don't need to give it. And we need to be careful about listening to those who might flatter us. Flattery moves others to unknowingly agree with the unjust laws. Faithfulness enables us to challenge unjust laws. Now, when we recognize unjust laws and seek to resist their influence, faithfulness enables us to challenge unjust laws. The law was directed at Daniel, and it had its effect. We don't know how or when Daniel found out about the unjust law, but he did. However, notice, it did not make a difference in Daniel's life. He knew about it, but it did not make a difference in his life. He went to his house, and he did what he had done previously. He did what was the habit of his life. He had a disciplined habit of seeking God in prayer 3 times a day, and Daniel just kept that up. He had faithfully worshiped and sought God before this unjust law was adopted, and he would not change his pattern. He would not change his habits. Oftentimes, you know, we talk negatively about routines or patterns, but most of us, routines are good for our lives. I brush my teeth every day because it's kind of a routine. I do other things that are healthy because it's kind of a routine. I did ride a bike because it was healthy. I won't be doing that for a while. It was pretty much a routine in my life. Discipline, habits, and patterns establish good practices in our life. They help us to walk with God. And Daniel had the habit of daily seeking God 3 times a day as he prayed toward Jerusalem. You know, the Old Testament, when the temple was built, you know, it represents the presence of God. So he looked toward Jerusalem where the presence of God is. Today, we don't look toward Jerusalem. We look to the cross. We look to Jesus because Jesus represents the presence of God. He is the one mediator between God and man. But he looked toward God, and he had a daily habit of prayer. And, you know, I would encourage you, try to develop a habit that's so strong in your life that you just hate to miss it. If the only reason, you know, some days the only reason I read the Bible and I pray, it's because I know I'm supposed to. Now, that might not be the best motivation for all the time, but sometimes it's the only motivation I have. Some days I'm not too spiritual. Some days I don't feel like it. But I do it because there's a certain habit that's developed in my life. And I would encourage you to try to develop those habits that help you walk close with God. Now, Daniel also knew something else. He could not compromise what he was doing without breaking the first commandment. Dale Davis writes this: Daniel was able to see the actual issue. He knew he was not facing a minor religious inconvenience, just wait 30 days until the current prayer ban's lifted. It was actually a matter of whether he would keep the first commandment of having no other gods but God. Daniel faces a king who is a God keeper for a month, and the politicians who pushed the provision through and prays to Yahweh anyway. Prayer is the way he keeps the first commandment. By prayer, he goes on worshiping the true God anyway, and so prayer is here an idol-busting activity. You see, some things you got to do. You got to be faithful to. And you need to practice faithfulness before the test comes, so that you'll be able to practice it when the test comes. Yesterday's faithfulness enables you to be faithful today. Faithfulness in the patterns of life prepare you to be faithful during the test of life. Faithfulness enables us to challenge unjust laws. There's another way this passage enables us to recognize unjust laws and seek to resist their influence, and that's this: enlightenment and compassion move us to overturn unjust laws. Now, the men who plotted against Daniel came and found him doing exactly what they knew he was going to do. And they came to the king, and they said, they didn't tell the king exactly why they came at first, but they reminded him. They said, "Didn't you have an injunction that anybody who makes any petition to any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, going to be thrown in the lion's den?" And the king said, "Yeah, I remember that. That's the law of the Medes and the Persians, and it cannot be revoked." Then they sprung the trap. Daniel, who's one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king. Notice how they said one of the exiles from Judah. They said he's not like us. He's different from us. He's one of the exiles from Judah. And he pays no attention to you, O king. They couched it in such a way that it was a personal insult to the king. "He's not paying attention to you, O king. He makes his petition 3 times a day just like he did before." The trap was sprung. And Daniel Daniel was in the trap that they thought. The king's own ego had trapped him and threatened to cause him to lose his most trusted advisor. The king hadn't realized what the consequences of the law that he had enacted. They hadn't realized the consequences of the law that he had enacted. And the Bible says he was deeply distressed. He wasn't deeply distressed because Daniel had not obeyed the law. He was deeply distressed because he saw how stupid he had been. You ever heard the term unintended consequences? You know, there are some things when you do them that the actions that have consequences you don't realize are going to happen. And sometimes those consequences are long-lasting and far-reaching. Someone has said sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. You see, sin has far and long lasting consequences. And we often know that we can be forgiven for any sin. That's true. It's always true. But sometimes the consequences and the long lasting nature of those can go on not only in our lives but in the lives of those we love. When we decide something simply for our own self-interest, we often forget how we hurt others. Now the king, he was distressed by this and he tried to figure out a situation that he had unintentionally caused. He was concerned about Daniel. He saw his own folly in what he had done. He tried, is there a loophole? Is there a way to change his situation? But it also shows us that there wasn't a way. There wasn't a way in this specific situation to change it. Sometimes there are no do-overs in life. You can be sorry, but you can't change what you've done. You can't stop the consequences from happening. But the king still tried. And I think that's important. I think it's important that he tried. Because, you know, if you've been paying attention this week, you look at all the crazy things that have been happening in the government. It's crazy. And sometimes you just want to say, I'm tired of this. Those guys are a bunch of jerks, and I'm just going to not pay any attention at all, and I'm not going to even worry about it anymore. I'm not going to even vote. I'm not going to even do anything. That's the wrong attitude. See, don't get so discouraged that you give up. And even if times you might not be able to do something, sometimes you still need to try. Because maybe you're doing something will help somebody else do something. You're doing something will help somebody else do something. Don't give in to despair. Keep seeking and growing and caring and trying. Enlightenment. The king was compassionate. He realized, I've done such a foolish thing. Daniel is my friend. I think the king loved Daniel. Daniel's my friend. What kind of situation have I put him in? How can I get him out? Compassion and enlightenment move us to overturn unjust laws. Well, how do we have the strength to continue to confront injustice when it stares us in the face? And that is this. God's presence enables us to face the consequences of unjust laws. God's presence enables us to face the consequences of unjust laws. The enemies of Daniel pressed the point, and the king commanded Daniel to be cast into the lion's den. And so he was. He was cast into the lion's den. The den was sealed by the king's seal and the seals of the other lords. But you know something? Daniel had not lived his faith just private and personal. Yes, faith is personal. And in some ways it's private, but it's really not. It's personal, but it's not private. It's not meant to be hidden under a bush, a bushel. It's not meant to be hidden. But it's meant to be lived out before men. Daniel had lived his faith in such a way that he had had influence on the king. The king had been influenced by Daniel. I wonder if Daniel had talked to them about Israel and the miracles of Israel. And the king knew that Daniel had practiced his faith. He knew that this was a practice of Daniel's life. And so what did he do? He said, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." May your God whom you serve continually. Daniel knew the law. So the king was influenced by Daniel. Now Daniel knew the law. He knew the consequences. He knew the law, the scripture tells us. He knew that he was going to be thrown into the lion's den. But his love for God motivated him even more than his own safety and his fear of being thrown into the lion's den. You know, obeying God doesn't mean you won't be afraid of what it means to obey God. You know, oftentimes we think of courage as a lack of fear. No, that's not true. Courage is not a lack of fear. Courage is doing something even when you're afraid and you know what might happen when you do that. Daniel knew that he was going to be thrown in the lion's den, but he still loved God, and he still loved God more than the king and more than even his own safety, and he was willing to be arrested and thrown in the lion's den to break the consequences and face the consequences of breaking the unjust law of man. Why was he? Because he lived in the presence of God. Because he knew God. He walked with God. You know, if we're not walking with God today, when the times of distress come, well, we'll be able to walk with him in those times. We need to be walking with God every single moment of the day, seeking to, because we don't know when the times of distress will come upon us. We don't know when difficult times will be. But if we're living in the presence of God, seeking him, seeking to love him, none of us love him perfectly. Don't get me wrong. We all know that we're sinner, we fall. But when we sin, we confess it, we get up, we seek to walk with God again. We ask his forgiveness. We ask his power to help us not to make that mistake again, not to sin that sin again. But if we're seeking God, if we're walking with God, if we're walking in the light, it doesn't mean we won't sin. It just means we'll recognize it quicker. We'll recognize it quicker and confess it faster. And so we need to make it a practice of walking with God so that when the hard times come, we will be ready to do whatever it takes. Daniel was willing to face the consequences of his breaking this unjust law. In that same letter to a letter from a Birmingham jail, Martin Luther King wrote this: "I hope you're able to see the distinction I'm trying to point out. In no sense do I advocate evading or defying the law as would the rabid segregationist. That would lead to anarchy. One who breaks an unjust law must do so openly, lovingly, and with the willingness to accept the penalty. I submit that an individual who breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust and who is willing and willingly accepts the penalty of imprisonment in order to arouse the conscience of the community over its injustice is in reality expressing the highest respect for law." You see, sometimes you're going to do what's right and they're going to throw you in the lion's den. God didn't say you wouldn't be thrown in the lion's den. And we all know what happened to Daniel. We'll get to that in a minute. But there are times when the consequences will come crashing on you, but you'll be able to do what God has you to do because you love him more and you live in his presence. And you'll be like the three who were thrown into the fiery furnace. We believe our God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we're not gonna bow down to your idol. You see, we can know the presence of God. And there are many times when we know the presence of God, we'll see the miraculous deliverance of God. But even if we don't, we can always know his presence. We're not called to rebellion, but to higher obedience. And sometimes it's going to be costly. God's presence enables us to face the consequences of unjust laws. But finally, there's one more thing I want you to see. What will be the ultimate outcome when we obey God instead of men? God's people show forth God's power and glory when they obey God above the unjust laws of men. Well, at the break of day, the king went to check on Daniel and find out his condition. He could not sleep that night. He was unable to sleep. So at the break of day, he gets up and he goes to check on Daniel. There was a kind of a consideration of the law. If you survived a certain kind of torture, you'd be set free. If you survived the sentence that was set upon you, you'd be set free. And so King Darius goes to the lion's den and he calls out, half in faith and half wishingly, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" The only thing Daniel says in this whole chapter, he says now, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And before you, O king, I have done no harm. I was in no way disloyal to you." You see, Daniel trusted God, and God delivered him. And through Daniel's God's power and glory were revealed. That's what happens when you and I obey God all the time, every single time. Those who tricked the king were not so fortunate. You know, the king was not a true believer in the Most High God. It wasn't his only God. He believed in lots of gods. And he believed in heathen justice. He didn't accept what the Old Testament talked about, the eye for eye and tooth for tooth. We understand that's not applies to us, and we got to live in a different way. But that was actually a good thing in that world, because before God said an eye for eye, a tooth for tooth, if a man murdered you, you'd go murder his whole family. And God said, you can't do that. But this guy hadn't read that. And so what he did was he took the people who had deceived him, who had tricked him, he threw them and all of their families into the lion's den. And the Bible says they didn't even hit the ground before their bones were crushed by these hungry lions. Daniel trusted God and he saw God glorified and he saw his power made manifested. And then we find another of these royal proclamations that we find from time to time in the book of Daniel. The king proclaimed, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. He is the living God." Now the king's saying this. He is the living God during forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. You see, Daniel glorified God because he lived in his presence and he was able to be faithful to God in spite of everything. God's people show forth God's power and glory when they obey God above the unjust laws of men. Yes, there are times when we have to choose obedience over safety, security, and injustice. We should never disobey the laws of God just because we don't like them. In fact, Romans 13 teaches us we should always respect those who have authority over us. We ought to pay taxes, and we ought to give respect and honor to those who we owe those to. The Scripture clearly teaches that. But the Scripture also tells us when the laws of man interfere with our obligation to God and they dehumanize and destroy others, we have to obey God rather than men and suffer the consequences and penalties of those unjust laws from time to time. That happens. Will it happen to you and I? Maybe it will in our world. I don't know. It's happened to our brothers and sisters. It happened to those who fought for justice during the civil rights movement, and it could happen to us. We can be sure of this. We can know God's presence in our lives if that ever happens. And we also know that God's power and glory will be revealed through us as we love and obey God above all else. God's people reveal his power and glory when we supremely love and worship God alone. Let's pray together. I wanted you to be aware this morning before we pray that if God has spoken to you and prompted you, you need someone to pray with this morning. You need someone to talk to you about a commitment to Christ. Maybe you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've never given your life to him and never surrendered yourself to him and confessed him as Lord and accepted his forgiveness. There'll be some down Kathy and Damon will be down and take you into the library this morning, and they'll be able to talk to you beginning when we sing our closing song, and also just a few minutes after if you need to talk to them. Our Father, we love you, and we pray for the grace and strength to obey you and love you above everything else. Father, it's not because we're rebels. It's not because we just don't like the government. It's because we want to love and obey you that we seek to do your will. And we pray that you'd help us, Lord, not to compromise if we see people being destroyed. Lord, not to compromise if people ask us to worship someone other than you through Jesus. Oh, Father, help us to be true to you in these days that we live in. Lord, if there's someone here that's hurting, someone here that needs a word of encouragement, I pray that you would comfort them at this time. I pray that you'd speak to them. I pray that you'd draw them to yourself. If there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus and the life, Lord, that the one who is worth making these sacrifices for, because he is the one who sacrificed all for us. Lord, you never ask us to do anything that you didn't do for us. You gave your all for us, and you love us that much. Help us to love you in such a way. And if there's someone here that has never come to know that great love that's worth living and dying for, and put their faith in Jesus, I pray that today they trust in him and live for him. And today would be the day that they begin a new life. Ask you to work and move and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.